Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Very good morning to you once again, and thank you so much to for joining us to this segment here. We call it the Make It Practical space on the Glorious Morning Show. As you are tuning to Adventist World Radio SID Media, we invite you to share your thoughts, your comments as we study together this morning. Come through. Let's hear what's on your mind. We are wrapping up our fifth commandment series for the week. The ultimate way to honor the position of parenthood is to become the healthy parent, a mentor, a leader that you never had, right? And if your family tree is bent by generations of alcoholism, of rage, of manipulation or neglect, you do not have to pass that poison down to the next branch. So through Christ, the cycle stops with you. And today we are looking at the legacy of King Josiah, a young ruler who had a wicked father and also a wicked grandfather. So it ran in the family. Yet he chose to completely rewrite his future based on God's truth. You can be a circuit breaker is basically what we're saying in your family line. So let's talk about how to build a legacy of health from the ashes of a broken home. And taking us through the study is our pastor Mfundisi Mutoya. Sir, good morning to you and welcome again.
Thank you so very much, and good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for this. So we're about to wrap up our lesson for the week. We are looking at this passing the baton motive, and we are trying to capture some lessons from the story of King Josiah, young King Josiah, whose story shows us that we are not textually or even spiritually doomed to repeat our parents' sins. But how does it do that? Maybe just walk us through quickly the story of Josiah and how we can learn to break the cycle, if you will, of those sins that sometimes run through multiple generations before us.
Thank you so very much. Yes, the Bible gives the account of King Josiah. You check in 2 Kings 22 and 23, 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. It gives you the account of King Josiah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, King Josiah's father was a man by the name of Amon. And this man actually did evil against God. And he was, so terrible, among the kings that were raised, in the nation. But not only that, his grandfather, the name Manasseh, in fact, many scholars believe that Manasseh is the most wicked king of Judah. Yeah, like the worst of them all. Yeah, this is a man, Manasseh, who rebuilt high places that were erected in honor of Baal. This is the man who practiced the witchcraft. This is the man who filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, from one end to the other. In fact, this is the man, King Manasseh, whom it was said that it was safer to be Manasseh's pig than to be Manasseh's son, because he sacrificed his own children in fire in a place called Gehenna. So this was, the generation of leaders, of fathers that Josiah had. But yet when he came on the scene, he changed it all. Yeah, he changed it all. And everything totally changed. He made a choice not to follow his, fathers and forefathers' evil. Yes, and in fact, it's so interesting that one of the things that happened to him, he found the book of the law. Yes, and when he found the book of the law, he made Israel to be able to follow what was on the book of the law. And that is how he changed everything. So indeed, God's grace honors our individual choices.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. God's grace honors our individual choices.
Hmm. Profound. It honors our individual choices. We are our own people, and we don't have to be repeaters of those things that the ones who went before us were partaking in. We got a comment coming through, Muruti, from our listener here. The question is, I've heard that honoring parents according to the commandment that we're going through this week, the fifth commandment, ought to be like lifting them high. What then becomes possible when you lift them high is that they can be better observed and seen as such. We learn from them in respect. And that's why it is the commandment with a promise, because the idea is that from observation, you see what must not be repeated. And that you as a child now know that you will be honored, lifted to be observed, and you will live it. I think it's more a comment that's coming through here rather than a question. Any thoughts on this idea of honoring being this a sense of lifting them high to be observed?
Yes, I think that's the way it is. When mm-hmm. you say to honor, it means you are holding that person in high esteem. And it means you are giving them a place in your life that is higher than where you are. So that's actually true. So the whole issue is you surely learn from them. Now, when you yeah. learn from them, it means there will be some examples that you can emulate, and there will be some that you cannot emulate. Mm. Yes. I have a friend of mine whose father was a drunkard, and his brother is a drunkard, and he says, "I'm a drunkard because my father was a drunkard." But this friend of mine is a pastor, and he says, "I made a choice in my life never to test beer because my father was a drunkard, and I saw what was happening with him when he is drunk and when he is sober." So you can see that literally, yes, we have examples that we can learn from and emulate, and examples that we cannot emulate. So that's yeah. basically what is there.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I'm loving the sense you're raising to say the example is exactly that, an example, and it is not a mandate that you must then follow it, right? You still have the prerogative to choose your own path as an individual. Where and how, Mfundisi, do we look for spiritual parents now, moving it from our physical, biological parents, talking about spiritual parents or mentors within the broader church body, that parents that can maybe feel the massive emotional gaps that might have been left in the spaces of our biological parents? How do we go about that? Is it them that must look for us, or is the onus on the child to look for someone that say, this can be my mentor?
Thank you. For me, I would think that that's a good question. Mm-hmm. For me, I would think that it's us who should look for mentors.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's us who should look for mentors, and it's something that is quite important. Yes. For me, I've looked at a gentleman by the name of David in the Bible. That places where Jesse could not, fit in, there was a man called Prophet Samuel mm-hmm. who came through and saw the king in David. Yeah. So to me, mentors are quite important indeed.
Yeah.
And you see in the Bible and elsewhere that mentors have a role to play. Yes, they have a role to play. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I have a ministry that I run where it's called the Mentors Forum, and we talk about, men's mentorship, and we look for men to mentor men. So the whole issue is that, yes, the mentees are the ones to look for men. Now, the question is, how do you find them? Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the most important thing. Number one, you don't just go to these mentors, because most mentors are those who are inspiring. They are those who are really, a blessing in the society.
Mm-hmm.
And that means for them to get there, they are extremely busy. Yes. Mm-hmm. These are people that use their time wisely.
Yeah.
They don't have time to play around. So you don't just go there and say, hello, be my mentor. And then you say, I want to meet you for 4 hours. No, it's not like that. To me, how I look at it is this way. Number one, you need to really know that when you find this mentor,
mm-hmm.
ask God for divine connection to this particular mentor. Ask God also to touch this particular mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't try to make your relationship grow overnight.
Mm.
Because that will not work. Absolutely, it will not work.
Okay.
What you do is try to get closer to them. But at the same time, you need to know the best thank you to a mentor is to do what they have taught you, or is to, to improve, to grow in your life.
Okay.
So what happens is when you, the mentee, you are growing in your life because of certain things that they have advised you that you're working on, you discover that you get closer and closer to them. So the other one, which is important also, is that you see, don't look for a perfect mentor, because you may not find one.
True.
And don't say, I want to have only one mentor, because that is not realistic. So what you need to do is to find areas in their life that you wish to get to emulate and to grow in and so on. Mm-hmm. So you find areas in your life. Number two, I want to also say, I don't know, it's number three now. I want to also say, there should not be a moment where you say, I want to change being me.
Okay.
And because Derek is my mentor, I want to change. I cannot be Ephraim anymore. I want to be Derek.
Mm.
So my accent will be Derek. The way I walk will be Derek.
Mm.
And the food I eat will be Derek. The dress code will be Derek.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
No. Then the issue is God is not be happy with you like that, because you want to become a photocopy when God created you to be original.
True.
So the issue of a mentor is for you to become the best version of yourself. Okay? The way, the purpose, to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Where can we find them? In the church, we can find them. Elsewhere, we can find them. What qualifies one to be a mentor? One of the things that qualifies one to be a mentor is integrity. Do they have integrity? Yes. Mm. And then you can now follow with many other things.
Beautiful. What a model to follow through. And thank you so much for that, Mfundisam. We're having a follow-up from our session yesterday, Mfundisi. Remember, we were talking boundaries and when you can, how to do it and so forth. And a question came through that speaks to the final straw, basically asking, when is it okay to absolutely go no contact because of whatever toxicity that we have found this parent to be bringing into our lives? When is it okay to say, you know what, I'm cutting you off? Is that ever okay, in fact?
Yes, it is okay to cut contacts with your parents.
Mm.
Yeah, it is okay.
Mm.
At what time is that okay? When life is being threatened. Yes. So when life is being threatened, then at that time, you better cut contact.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's not wise to be in contact with a person who is threatening your life or threatening the life of those that God has given you to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, that's the time where you're able to say, we'll not just have this physical contact.
Yeah.
Yes. So But at the same time, we need to appreciate that you are doing this because you are protecting your life and those that are under you. Yes. But at the same time, it does not mean in any way that you are supposed to be a bitter person. Mm. There's a difference between protecting yourself and your life and being a bitter person. Yes, because remember what we said earlier, we quoted in the scripture where the Bible says, you make peace, you know, as much as it lies possible yes. with you.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are times when you can really try to make peace, but it looks like it's not working out.
Mm.
Yeah. So at that particular time, you need to just find a way. Yeah, I'll give you that there are situations, Derek, which you may not even be responsible for, but yet you are in it. Okay, I'll give you an example. Here you are, and you find yourself, you are born out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. And so when your mother is looking at you, she's seeing not really a daughter. She's seeing the woman who was who snatched the husband. She's seeing a woman who committed adultery with the husband.
Oof.
Meanwhile, for you, you're just a daughter.
Mm.
You see, yeah, you're just a daughter, but she's seeing something more than just a daughter. Okay. Yes, and so this woman is not there. So all the wrath, all the bitterness, all everything, the anger is all on you. Why? Because of things that are beyond your control. So that's why you need to be wise. But otherwise, we are just saying bitterness and other things should not be there in your life. You need to enjoy peace and at the same time honor them. But then life will give you the wisdom on how you should do it if your life is being threatened.
You know, in as much as we might be critical of parents and Mfundisi, what I've picked up is that English saying often becomes true, we become our parents. those very things we hated about them and how they parented, it's easy for us to become that very same thing. Maybe talk to us then to say, how do we handle that? Things we can do to prevent us turning into the toxic parents that we vowed never to become, but also how to handle the stress of trying to fight that reality or that perception from being a reality at least.
Wow, that's a good question there. I think it's really true what you have shared there. And I think what is important for us is to know that, you know, our parents had this particular, you know, life.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this and that, which was literally their choices, which they made.
Yeah.
And for you, you don't need to make those choices. So you may come from a toxic family. You may come from a dysfunctional family. You may come from a family that is really rooted into all these, you know, terrible stories. But I think what you need to understand, what you need to know, is that now is your time to make choices yourself. Yeah, it's time to make choices. And for sure, I want to say, if we are not careful, what will happen is we may come with what is known as emotional baggage. Yeah. Now, emotional baggage is unresolved trauma from your childhood. Yes. And this emotional baggage, it's interesting that literally everyone, maybe because Derek is here, maybe I should say almost everyone, has some emotional baggage, you know, has some emotional baggage. So what is there is, there are some of these emotional baggage that can override, you know, your current judgment of things. But there's some emotional baggage that may be there, but you can now overcome them. You grow, you know, over them, and then you're independent. But otherwise, there are some of these emotional baggages which can affect even your parenting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes. Which can affect the way you look at things. Yes. Mm. I'll give you an example. If I grow up in poverty, I will have an emotional baggage which I will not even know that it is an emotional baggage.
Yes.
Where I will now decide, because of my fear of poverty, mm-hmm. I want to work extra hard and even beyond. Mm-hmm. I don't want to rest. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I may even find myself into corrupt issues, or because I have this fear in me that I don't want to leave my children the way my father left me.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, I may overdo this in the sense that my father was there in my life and left me with values which I'm even using now mm-hmm. to help me succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is he didn't leave me with the runs. But for me now, I will leave the world with plenty of runs for my children, but yet lacking values.
No values.
And so they will remain with plenty of runs, and they run into drugs, and plenty of runs, and they are addicted to pornography, plenty of runs, but they have just spoiled, you know, children altogether.
Mm.
Because, so there's this issue which is there. So all I'm trying to say is, yes, it's true that we become sometimes the very thing which we are thinking is toxic, you know, in the parenting of our parents. And then we become the same thing, maybe in another version. So I think what is important is, one, we need to know that we need to have choices in our lives, number one. Number two, we need to look at our parents in such a manner that we are not overcome by emotions, so that we are objective to look at their lives, so that we are able to see the things that we can emulate and the things that we should not emulate. And by the end of the day, we need to also be grateful on certain things in their lives.
Yeah.
So that's it. You may have a bad mother, but hey, there are some mothers that committed what is known as abortion.
Mm.
So if you are alive, there is something to be grateful for.
Amen.
To your mother. So yes, yes, there's something to be grateful for to your mother. So all I'm saying is, it's important that we should have hearts that are full of gratitude.
Certainly. Oh, beautiful stuff. And what a way to wrap up our series for the week. Mfundo Sami, I want to just thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping us make sense of it and teaching us to be better, both as the children who need to honor the parents, but also as parents who are honor worthy, as Paul would advise it, that don't provoke your children to anger. Thank you once again, Pastor, and all the best, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. God richly bless you too. And please continue to keep hope alive.
Amen.
And bye-bye for now.
Amen. Bye-bye, Pastor. Mfundisi Mutoya there talking to us this week as we've been going through this series of lessons. The fifth commandment, reminding us, teaching us, God instructing us to honor our parents.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.